Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here as we take a look at the stars today and optics with Jim Lattice, director of the UW-Madison Space Place, and Tom Hall of Eagle Optics. They've been regular guests on our program for a long, long time. And Jim Packer joined us, I don't know. I've heard you called a space cadet, but
a space cadet. I hadn't heard that one, Larry. But I'll be glad to take whatever awards and honors that you're giving to me today. But we're inviting people to jump on the bandwagon because the
shoot for the moon
drive is in the last throes and will soon become space dust. And we want your pledge at 800-383-9772. We have a $9,000 goal before noon. And if we hit that goal, then we're looking at an additional $1,500. Is that right, Larry?
That's exactly right. And that's a challenge grant, $1,500 from anonymous donors who want to help us make our goal of $9,000 by noon today. And we're right down to the last couple of hours of the pledge drive. And so it's kind of getting down to your last chance to make a contribution, to put in a vote for Wisconsin Public Radio and a vote for this particular program from 11 to 12:30. Here's that number to call. It's 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. And we'd also be happy if you'd go online to WPR.org and make your pledge there at WPR.org. No matter by phone or online, one way or the other, we hope that you'll do it. And when you do it, you're going to feel great knowing you're supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
And to help us make that $9,000 goal, we'd like your call and would suggest to you a pledge level of $120 or $10 a month. And when you do that, we will be glad to send along the Wisconsin Public Radio member benefit card. I was just looking at some of the locations that are included in this. Of course, we've got two-for-one dining benefits throughout the state. We've got performance and attraction benefits on a two-for-one basis. And then, of course, new this fall was the bed and breakfast benefit with two nights for the price of one. So you've got two-for-one admission at the Madison Children's Museum at Madison Symphony Orchestra, at the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame.
Yes, where you can see my name.
Two-for-one admissions there. And the Wisconsin Maritime Museum is another one. So you can see that these are quality attractions, and it'll be no time at all when you'll have the amount of your pledge recouped to you. And it starts with your pledge at WPR.org or at 800-383-9772. Larry, we certainly don't want to miss this $9,000 goal.
No, we absolutely do not want to miss that goal, primarily because of the, for a number of reasons, but the main one is we receive an extra $1,500 when we reach that goal. So when you call in with your contribution, be it $120 or maybe it's $150 or maybe it's $100 a month, who knows? Whatever amount is comfortable for you is what we'd like you to contribute, but we really want to make this goal this particular hour. It's a big thing that our contributors did for us, these anonymous folks who decided, let's give everybody a little incentive to make their contribution during Larry's program. So it's just during this program, and it's just during this particular hour from 11 to 12 that we have the opportunity to bring in another $1,500, and we can only do it with your contribution. I think if we had about 75 or so contributors at the $120 level, that would get us right up to $9,000. Of course, it'd be nice if we had some larger ones as well, but frankly, any amount. 1-800-383-9772, the number to call. 1-800-383-9772. Call in right now or go online to WPR.org. It'll only take you a minute or two in either case. And online, as a matter of fact, little advantage there in that you instantly can print out your receipt for tax purposes. So WPR.org or go to 1-800-383-9772.
Larry, this does not have to be paid all at once. You can use electronic funds transfer and set aside, designate a monthly or quarterly balance to be taken out and transferred. Or you can do any of the credit cards. You can do cash. Or, as we said before, you can stack $1 bills on the reception desk and pay for your $120 pledge that way. WPR.org or 800-383-9772. But let's hear your pledge because we've got a $9,000 goal by noon, and we'd love to hear from you.
1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. And if you have a question for our guests, Jim Lattice and Tom Hall, I hope you'll join in. Here's that number. It's 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. And if you've got a question about what's going on in space or what's going on with optics these days, we hope you'll join us. And Jim Lattice, welcome back.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be here.
Tom Hall, thank you so much for coming back as well.
Always a pleasure, Larry.
I really appreciate it. Well, what's new? What's going on out there, Jim Lattice?
Boy, you got me thinking about all this pledge activity here. This is really exciting to be here at the hubbub of all these things. Well, I've been thinking a lot lately about what's coming up next year, because I try to think about the year ahead a little bit. And one thing we're planning for is the lunar eclipse. We're going to have another really nice lunar eclipse in February. I think it's the 20th, or is it the 21st? 20th, I believe. And then, or maybe it's 21st in our time zone. I always forget which one I'm reading about.
Yeah, this is in February?
That'll be in February, right. Okay. And that makes for quite a little string of them that we've had after we had kind of a dearth of them. So for sky watchers, those are great things to watch for. The other thing that's coming up just a little bit later this year already is what we call the opposition of Mars. And opposition is kind of a funny term. Astronomers use it to mean when Mars is opposite the sun in the sky. But what that really means for most of us is that Mars will be at its closest and brightest, and it's visible all night. So Mars is going to put in a really nice appearance just in time to save us from kind of a lack of planets, because we're losing Jupiter over in the southwest these days. A few more weeks and you'll hardly be able to see Jupiter, but we'll have Mars come to the rescue pretty soon here.
And let me ask you the same thing, Tom Hall, about optics. The holiday season is coming, and I'm sure people are kind of thinking about maybe some binoculars or telescopes as gifts. Anything new in your area?
You bet. Well, actually, yeah, our company just won a very prestigious award from Field & Stream magazine. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of our binoculars, the Vortex Viper 10x42. Won their Best of the Best award. So that's something that we get to put in our advertising, competing against some extremely expensive equipment also, up past $1,000. And these Viper binoculars at $500 were something that they chose for their editor's choice. And now we get to put a nice little seal on our boxes that say Best of the Best from Field & Stream. We're pretty proud of that one.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So tomorrow night then at the Space Place Binocular and Telescope Clinic. Maybe would there be a pair there that we could look at?
We will feature those prominently for you.
Okay, so and that's for other people to in the area want to attend that?
Yeah, of course. This is our annual fall telescope and binocular fair and clinic. I guess we've got a lot of conjunctions going on there. But we do this every year on the fourth Tuesday in October. And we have lots of telescopes and binoculars on display down there. And people also bring in their own telescopes for help with them or just to show them off. That's why it's also sort of a fair. So it's a real educational sort of opportunity to get to look at a lot of different type of telescopes and learn about your own. We always have the Madison Astronomical Society volunteers there to help, and Tom comes along as well with a nice display of their equipment. So we'll be able to see these award-winning binoculars. So that's at Space Place, 7 to 9 p.m., tomorrow evening.
Tomorrow night. All right. Well, Mark in Colfax is on board here, so let's go to Mark. Mark, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I'm wondering, back in 1967 and 68, I was just graduating from junior high, and a friend of mine and I, we had built a plywood space capsule and did simulated space flights 7 days 1 year and almost 20 days the next year. And at the time, the Milwaukee Public Museum was trying to put together a central place for space information to be gathered. And part of their promotion to raise money was at the state fair, they sold lots on Lovell City on the moon. And gave us, each of us a lot on the moon. But I'm wondering if maybe the director of Space Place knows what happened to all the information and everything, because I think the museum never did raise enough money to become a space center there.
Anything about that, Jim?
I'm afraid I'm going to have to disappoint you on that. I'm sorry. I don't know anything about that and how that came out with the museum. So I guess you have to check with them and see whether... I was growing up in Kentucky at that time, so I don't remember that. I don't remember that turn of events.
Well, see, now the center now has to be the UW Space Place, I would
think.
There
you go. Well, so we can take over administration of the Lovell City, yeah.
And, Mark, have you had a chance to visit your lot?
No. As a matter of fact, I lost the deed to it, so maybe the museum's got some record of it. I'll have to call it.
I think they default to somebody else when you lose the deed.
Thanks, Mark. You can join in, too, with a question at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. We had a meteor shower last week. We've got another one coming up, I assume, in about mid-November, isn't it?
Right, the Leonids in late November. Mm-hmm. And then the one you're just talking about recently, you mean the Orionids.
Mm-hmm. Orionids.
Right, and those, the Orionids are interesting because they come from Halley's Comet. The particles that we see when we see the Orionid meteors are from Halley's Comet, and they're paired actually with another meteor shower called the Eta Aquarids, if I remember correctly, in May. And so Halley's Comet interacts real strongly with the Earth's orbit. It comes it on its way up. It sort of comes from south of the solar system plane and crosses the Earth's orbit once on the way up and then once on the way out. And so at each of those crossing points, we get a pretty good meteor shower as meteor showers go. So, yeah, we have the Orionids, and then in May we'll have their siblings, the Eta Aquarids.
Uh-huh. And then, late November, though, coming up is a great opportunity.
Right. And, in fact, this is a pretty good year for them. The Leonids, a lot of people might remember that's the the peak of the Leonids is on the 18th. Of November.
So 18th still, of November. Okay.
Yeah, and the moon is around first quarter then, and what that means is that the moon will set fairly early by around midnight or earlier, and so you'll have dark skies by the early morning hours that are best for meteor observing between basically dawn and midnight. So the Leonids, a lot of people will remember we had Leonid storms five-ish years ago, right around year 2000, a couple of years on either side of that. And although the storm period has probably passed us by, there haven't been Leonid meteor storms for several years now. But they're highly variable, and we could easily see a really active Leonid shower at a burst, they call them, at one time or another. So that's something to watch for.
Oh, I remember 5 or 6 years ago being in northern Wisconsin, pitch dark at night at 2 o'clock in the morning or so, just transfixed.
Yeah, they were just constant.
They were just constant. Yeah, absolutely. Janice in Whitefish Bay, your turn. Hi, Janice.
Hi. Your mention of the Milwaukee Public Museum, of course, reminded me that at the Milwaukee Public Museum since November, it's been there almost a year now, is the planetarium.
Mm-hmm.
It was created by donation from the estate of Daniel M. Soriff, and it's in the IMAX theater. They show movies, and they have planetarium shows in the IMAX theater. And the first part of the show is a narrated talk about the stars in the Milwaukee skies, and they'll take you to the southern hemisphere. They'll show you planets, the stars, the constellations. They zoom in, they zoom out. It's on projectors. Laser projectors, not film. And then the second part of the show, the whole show lasts 45 minutes. The second part then is a movie, and they'll show black holes. There's one, Wonders of the Universe. Now they have Spooky Skies, kind of kid-oriented spooky stuff about the skies, but very informative. And so that's at the Milwaukee Public Museum in the IMAX Theater, and the times are listed in the paper.
Thank you, Janice. Have you had a chance to see it, Tom?
No, I'm afraid not.
I have. I've been over there, and it really is a wonderful thing. It's one of the most right now. These things are like telescopes too. You've always got the world's most advanced one for a little while, but we have one of the world's most advanced planetarium projection systems over there. So that's a great resource. And then, of course, up in the Fox Valley, That's a few years old now, but they have mm-hmm. a very advanced planetarium up there as well. I'm sometimes impressed at, for a state our size, that we've got such advanced planetarium facilities and also observatories even in this state, if you start naming off things like Yerkes Observatory and Washburn Observatory.
Mm-hmm.
So we have quite a lot of astronomy going on. But yes, the Milwaukee Belt Museum Planetarium is a great one.
Thanks, Janice. Thanks very much for calling. Talking astronomy today with Jim Lattice, director of the UW-Madison Space Place, and Tom Hall, optics specialist with Eagle Optics of Middleton. If you want to join in, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm Larry Mueller, Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking Space with Jim Lattice and Tom Hall. Thanks for listening in. Give us a call if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. Nick in Green Bay is online. Nick, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. This subject really fascinates me. I was just wondering if any of the observatories in my area are open to the public.
In the Green Bay area?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, telescope from Walmart, but it was a crappy one, and it worked like crap, so I brought it back and... Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's see. I can't tell you the name of it right off the bat, but there is an astronomical society right up there, and so you should look around. You may want to try to Google for Green Bay Astronomy Club or something along that line, and you'll probably come up with it. I can't remember the name of it off the bat, and I believe they have an astronomical society with an observatory, and they may very well do open nights there.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Apparently, Nick had a not such a good experience with optics with something that he bought at a big box place or something. But
well, as I'm sure Tom would agree, those inexpensive telescopes that you pick up have maybe discouraged as many people from astronomy as encouraged them because
yeah.
they're hard to...
It is unfortunate, and it's hard to find a package in those that doesn't claim magnification is the most important thing, and that's what draws everybody in. They see 500 power, and they think that's terrific. And unfortunately, even the best land-based observatories often work at only 100 power of magnification. If you're looking for those beginner scopes, try to find one or two good eyepieces with lower power, and you'll generally find much more enjoyment out of them.
And the thing they don't emphasize and what you do have to look for is a good mounting. That's where they fail
you bet.
So much, is a slightest little breeze or bump. And
they, you've lost it.
Yeah, well, lost it, and the images vibrate even when you're right on it. But footfalls nearby or a light breeze, and the image is wiggling all around. You can't see anything. So they're a mixed bag.
Mitch in Green Bay is online, so let's go to Mitch. Hi, Mitch.
Hi, I'm a member of the Neville Public Museum Astronomical Society.
There we go, thank you.
And you can find us on the initials NP, Neville, MAS.com on the internet. And they meet, and I think it's the second Wednesday of every month. I believe after the first Tuesday or something like that. I keep missing it because I'm an over-the-road truck driver and I'm usually not here.
But it's the website was N as in Nancy.
Neville, N as in Neville, P as in public, M as in museum, A as in astronomical, and S as in society.
All right.
And then that's .com.
.com.
Right.
Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. We'll welcome anybody. We enjoy showing them. And one of our members has, well, several of our members have their own observatories. Our largest is one with a 30-inch telescope in it.
Oh, that's a nice one.
That's almost research.
Thanks, right? Mitch.
Very good.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. All right. So there you have it. For our earlier caller, you got a spot there. The Neville Public... NPMAS.
Museum Astronomical Society.
Yep,
Neville
there
Public
we go.
Museum Astronomical Society.
Jacob in Beaver Dam, your turn. Hi, Jacob.
Hi. I was wondering if our guest knew of any information for further declassification or pushing for more information on UFOs. I know when the subject gets up, you're kind of labeled as a nutcase and shrugged off, and it seems like that's it seems like that's the idea all the way around, is that we've kind of just ignored them, and if they get brought up, you're kind of a nutcase.
Well, the Air Force certainly isn't nutcases, and they have documented, you know, more than enough encounters that they can't explain. I do think you're right. They like to sweep some of this perhaps under the rug because there are no explanations for it. Well, you can speculate, and I think that's what most people have the difficulty with, is speculation beyond what they can actually document and prove and work with. But there's certainly unidentified objects that crop up, certainly more since World War II and higher altitude flights. I would somewhat agree with the caller.
Well, it depends to some extent on which end of the identification process is the
exactly.
is the uncertainty, because with a vague enough report, it can match anything. And you can't rule, with a vague enough report, you can't rule out the various possibilities. And so the interesting cases are the ones where there's enough information, but no good explanation. And those, I mean, it's not like they didn't get a pretty thorough look in the, I mean, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and you mentioned the Air Force, you know, they devoted quite a lot of resources to investigating and compiling all of this kind of stuff. And what you find when you finally look at all that is there is no clear trend and no common thread linking the things that you can't identify, aside really from lack of data. So, but as to the caller's question, I don't know right off of a good source these days. It's a subject that I think a lot of the steam has gone out of, and I don't know if there are any particular organizations right now. There used to be several really active UFO organizations that you could find if they're still active, and they probably are. You can find their websites. I'm sure if you Google for unidentified flying objects, you'll find quite a pile of stuff. The only problem will be to sift out the organizations that are really interested in inquiry and the kind of flakier ones that are pushing some theory or other. And you want to watch out for those. Once somebody's got a theory and they're going to push it, then they're going to use whatever fuzzy data they have out there to apply to it. What you got to be interested in is what's the actual evidence that we've got.
Thanks, Jacob, for calling. Appreciate it. And let's go to Bill in Door County. Bill, hello to you.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, thanks for calling.
Hey, I have a telephoto lens that I would like to convert to a telescope, from a camera lens to a telescope. And I did this once before on a Canon lens from a place in Chicago, but I don't know who that was.
I remember an adapter that you could add to the back of some camera lenses. They've been long out of production, actually. They had to stock small parts for each individual camera company to fit to the T system of camera, you know, adaptability.
Right.
They were a small prism that essentially extended the focal length, added a lens so you could focus a real image, and then gave you a place to put an eyepiece in them. What kind of lens is it that you have? Is this a long telephoto mirror lens, or
no? It's not a mirror. It's just a telephoto. Goes up to 350 or something like that. I don't know.
Gotcha. Well, some of those actually did fairly well. They worked pretty well using these adapters because they were lower power. But boy, I think your best bet for finding one of those these days is to look on the used sites at astronomy amateur websites, or look on eBay, because it's my understanding that they've been out of production for almost 6 or 7 years.
Oh, okay.
So I wish I had better news there.
Is there an advantage to converting a telephoto over just getting a
telescope? Well, actually,
telescope?
Not really. Part of the difficulty with the telephoto lenses was that they had a relatively short focal distance and focal length to work with, and they showed a fair amount of chromatic aberration, sometimes using them as a telescope. You almost were better off buying a less expensive 60 or 80 millimeter wide field refractor. You wouldn't spend that much more than some of these adapters, and you'd have better color image sometimes and sharper images than those adapters could work with.
Hmm. Oh, interesting. Thanks, Bill, for calling. Appreciate your call. Just took a look at our pledge drive, and I'll mention briefly that we're at $2,000. We've raised $2,000. So far this hour, we have a goal of $9,000 for the hour, and really want to meet that, because we have a challenge grant of $1,500. So if you haven't contributed yet, call that 1-800-383-9772 number, 1-800-383-9772, and make your contribution, or go online to WPR.org. Make your contribution. We really want to meet that goal of $9,000 to reach our challenge grant. Any amount, welcome. Let's go back to the phones, and Fritz in Fish Creek, I believe, is next. Fritz, hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
It was on the 3rd of August at like 2 in the morning, and I was like northeast of Washington Island. Anyway, this light came, you know, and just kept increasing in brightness, you know, and then went out. And so I'm assuming it was a meteor.
Well, over what period of time? How long did that take to brighten and dim? Seconds or minutes? Or
you know, 5 seconds, something like that.
And did it streak across the sky, or was this something
it just
kind of
kept, just a point of light that increased in brightness.
Roughly what direction were you looking?
At that time, it would have been a little north of east.
Uh-huh. Well, I would guess an iridium flare or a meteor that was... You can't have a meteor that's coming basically straight at you.
I've seen that twice in my lifetime. It's really pretty spectacular when you see it. It looks a little different than the iridium flares, and Jim can tell you what those are here in just a moment. So, it could have been either one, but boy, it's very rare, pretty exciting when you can see them.
There is a way to check. An iridium flare is when they're a chain of these satellites. The iridiums are not the only ones, but there is a system of satellites called iridiums that have have big solar panels on them, and when they catch the sun at just the right angle, you get a direct reflection of the sun that typically only lasts a few seconds, but they're extraordinarily bright. In fact, sometimes you can even see them in the daytime. So an iridium flare is a possibility. There's actually a way to check that, which is to use a really excellent website called heavensabove.com. That's heavens-above.com. And if you go to heavens-above.com and put in your location and a date and time, one of the things it will do is calculate iridium flares for you. So you might just, if you put in your location, date, and time there, then it'll tell you what flares are visible. And if there's one that's at all close to the direction you're looking in the time, then that's almost surely what that was. On the other hand, if there's not, then maybe the meteor theory is the one to consider, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Thanks, Fritz. Thanks a lot for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Talking astronomy today, we're talking optics with our two guests, Jim Lattice and Tom Hall. Marv Harv in Washburn, you're next. Hi, Harv. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Like to know what your personal sunspot forecast is for the summer. Over.
I think Harv's a ham radio operator.
Yeah.
Hi, Harv. I don't have one except a hope. You know, we're behind the solar the sunspot upswing was supposed to have come on by now. We should be seeing a pretty good upswing in sunspots, and they're still lagging. The sun is still lagging, and the last I saw, the hope was that at least for ham radio operators among us, the hope was that the delay in the upswing of the sunspot cycle would produce a more intense sunspot cycle for the delay. Apparently, there's some correlation for that in historical records, that the ones that lag, that are late coming in, then are more intense during the period, and that makes for a lot better long distance radio communication.
Mm-hmm. So, somebody's going to be wondering, what are sunspots, and again, why do we get better radio?
Right. So a sunspot is you literally see them with an appropriate solar filter. When you look at the sun with a telescope and a proper solar filter, and we always have to urge great safety in doing something like that because that's a dangerous activity. But a sunspot, you literally see it on the sun. It's a magnetic disturbance on the sun, though, and they tend to produce enhancement of the ionization layers in our atmosphere, high up in our atmosphere, which is what long distance radio communications use. That is, we basically bounce our radio waves off of these layers in the atmosphere, and they come down other places on the Earth so that you can go way over the horizon, in fact, really all the way around the globe with radio communications. So that's better during the peak of the sunspot cycle, and that's what we're all waiting for.
Okay. Thanks, Harv. Jay in Two Rivers, your turn. Hi, Jay.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Could be loosely described as an amateur astronomer. I've got a fairly decent 120-millimeter refractor. So I'm always looking up. We've been fortunate to be able to observe the space shuttle and the space station close together going overhead. That was quite a sight. And I'm wondering if it would be possible for that much reflected light to shine through a very moisture-laden atmosphere. A couple summers ago, late at night, my wife and I took a moonrise walk up the beach north of Two Rivers and over Lake Michigan, just a few degrees over the lake's horizon, way below where any stars were. It was quite humid that night, and the only stars you could see were mostly overhead. Suddenly we noticed two bright white spots of light very close together that just appeared. There were no stars anywhere near, and the spots grew brighter and brighter and stayed that way for maybe 30 seconds, and then one slowly faded away, and the other one followed it.
So, sorry, what time of night was this? Or did...
Oh, that probably would have been about probably later. This was the summer. It would probably have been about 10:30 at night.
And had you noticed any movement itself? The orbits of those are fairly fast. So did you notice them tracking across the sky?
No, that's the thing. They seemed stationary. And it was, as I said, just above the horizon. It would have been as though one were looking at the tail exhaust of, say, two jet fighters traveling away from you, and you would have been looking right down the tailpipe. But I'm sure that's not what it was. It had a star-like color.
Yeah. It's really hard to say. When they're low on the horizon, speaking of a satellite. A substantial component of their velocity is towards you as opposed to when they're high overhead. So you might not see them shift very much during that amount of time. And if they were entering or leaving the Earth's shadow, depends on which way you're looking and which way they're going at the moment, they you could have seen them briefly and then they would disappear. Now, along about midnight, you're not going to see them at all. So we have to assume that you were, if that's what that was, then if your time was close enough in the summer, that might work. To sunset, then it's still possible to see for them to be in sunlight while we're in darkness. But you typically don't see satellites around midnight when we're on the opposite side from the sun. We don't see the illuminated satellites at all. So it's really tough. Another way to approach this, if you have enough details on your observation, heavens above, once again, will do it for you. If you put in your location and the time and the date, it will tell you whether there were any passes visible at your location and just where you would have seen them. So you might try that, heavens-above.com.
Heavens-above.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jay. Thank you for calling. Kathleen in Madison, hi to you.
Hi. I'm looking to buy some acreage for the future, build a house and a small observatory. I want to make sure there won't be a casino or anything built nearby in the future. Do you know of any dedicated dark skies areas in Wisconsin or even the U.S.?
The Kickapoo Reserve is and Wildcat Mountain, they're sort of working on trying to establish a dark sky.
And it's quite dark there. Boy, anywhere up north that you can get 30 miles away from the nearest township, you're always very good there.
Yeah, although ensuring you that the casino won't spring up somewhere.
Yeah, we can't do that.
Well, yeah, if there's one pretty close by, but 30 miles away, unlikely there'll be another one 30 miles from it. But we have a place in north of Hayward, 30 miles or so, and Man, I tell you, the sky's really dark, really dark.
But as far as an actual reserve, I don't know of one that I can tell you. I just know that they're planning one. They're working on it, but I don't know of one that's actually dedicated.
Mm-hmm. I know there's one, I think, in Toronto, north of Toronto, but so there's nothing comparable around here.
Boy, not that we're aware of, no. You'll have to expatriate, it sounds like.
But I tell you, if you get around the Shawamigan National Forest, if you're there are some roads that I travel on where there is private land on one side of the road, and on the other side of the road is the Shawamigan National Forest. I mean, it is pitch dark at night in those locations. You probably have to do a little driving around and
yeah, you know, and again, I know that they're deliberately thinking about that up there, that stretch between Wildcat Mountain and the Kickapoo Reserve in Vernon County. There, they have that in mind to try and establish a dark sky reserve. So at least thinking in the right directions on that, which is encouraging.
Oh, yeah. Grand! I'll look into that then.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy.
Thank you,
Larry in Madison. Hi to you.
Appreciate the program.
Sure.
They regularly watch the space station go over and the space shuttle, and if anybody is interested, if the shuttle does launch tomorrow, it's going to fly over Madison here a little bit after 6 o'clock, and you can find that on the NASA website, and they'll tell you what time it'll come over.
And Heavens Above will do that for you as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But the question I have, about a month ago, while looking up into the sky, a very bright flash, and just momentary, you know, like a flashbulb flash, and then watching that area, it was a satellite going over, but quite dim satellite.
That's a classic iridium flare. You'll see the satellite itself if you look closely, which we could have mentioned to that gentleman earlier.
Yes, I saw it after the flash, but that's what drew my attention to that area of the sky, yeah.
The flashes can last anywhere from a half a second to, boy, what is it, Jim, almost five?
Yeah, I was going to say five, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was spectacular, and that's why I was wondering if that's what it was, because I heard your discussion about it a moment ago. So.
Yeah, almost surely. It doesn't. There are other satellites besides the iridiums that do it, but there's a lot of the iridiums, and so they crop up. But once again, heavensabove.com. You can check that and just confirm or even tell you exactly which satellite it was that did that.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much.
Yep. All right. Yep. Appreciate the call. Jim Lattice, director of the UW-Madison Space Place, one of our guests, the other Tom Hall, optics specialist with Eagle Optics of Middleton, our guest here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along here as we talk space with Jim Lattice and Tom Hall. Having a lot of fun with them, actually, this morning, and getting quite a few questions answered as well. And one of our best answer men, Jim Packer, joining us again. And, Jim, we're shooting for the moon here at this 11 to 12 o'clock time period.
We are shooting for the moon, and we have a goal of $9,000 to raise before noon. And when we do that, we will achieve a challenge of an additional $1,500. So we want to make sure that we don't let that slip away, and we require that in order to get there, we're going to need a telephone call. And so why not decide that this is the moment that you're going to pledge on the last day of the fall drive, pledge to Larry Mueller's program. If you pledge the $100 level, we'll be glad to send along the brand-new Wisconsin Public Radio beverage mug made of the hardest plastic possible, and it has the Wisconsin Public Radio logo on it. You could drop that any place. You could be out, you know, somewhere with your eyes in the skies and drop it, and it wouldn't be a problem. But that's available at the $100 level when you pledge at WPR.org or at 800-383-9772. And how are we doing on that $9,000 goal?
Well, I'll tell you what, we've raised $2,655. So my math says $6,345 to go to reach our goal, which is a very reachable goal when you call in with your contribution. You could do like Gordy from Madison called in and pledged and said he hopes that I will be on the air for another 20 years.
I hope you are too, Larry.
Well,
I'm not sure that I'm going to be here with you, but I hope you are.
Mary in Chippewa Falls called in and said, excellent program. Thank you very much. Eric in Madison, thanks for all the people who help make WPR an enjoyable part of my day. Well, we hope that WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio, is an important part of your day. and especially this 11 to 12:30 time slot. That's a time slot that Jim and I have been working at for many, many years now. And we have great guests like Jim Lattice and Tom Hall on every day. We try to bring in guests that represent a wide variety of topics and topics that we know from talking with you and from hearing, seeing your emails that you enjoy. Well, now's the time for you to help us out. We want to reach this goal of $9,000 by noon, and we need to do that by probably one contribution at a time. There's probably not anybody who's going to call in and say, okay, I'll give you $6,000. Maybe, but probably not. We'll probably more likely do it at $100 or $120 increments. And, you know, for that $120, we'll send you the member benefit card with two-for-one dining, two-for-one stays,
two nights for the price of one.
Why do I always get that goofed up? Two nights for the price of one at 44 Bed and Breakfast from around Wisconsin. You can go to the, Muskie Hall of Fame and climb the giant muskie and look inside it and see my name emblazoned there as a charter member of the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. And that's two-for-one there, too. So there are lots of two-for-one things with that member benefit card. But what we really hope is that you enjoy the programs that you hear here and that you want to support us. I'm really feel good about seeing that we've had 20 contributions or 20 contributors, and 12 of them have been new members. If you have never contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio, in this last hour of the drive, or an hour and 10 minutes to go on this drive, we hope that you will say, you know what, I've never contributed, or maybe I haven't contributed in a long time, so I think I'm going to do that right now. 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org, WPR.org. And Jim, a couple of times I've on the show, I've asked for $100 a month contributions, and you know what?
You've gotten it.
Gotten it.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
You ask, and people respond. And so we're asking that a special person who has within their wherewithal the means to contribute $100 a month or $1,200 a year and join the 9XM Leadership Circle. You can put it on a credit card or electronic funds transfer. You become a part of the 9XM Leadership Circle. There's a special handshake that's involved that only Larry knows, and he won't tell it to me until I pony up some more money to get there. There's a special newsletter, and you can really help secure the future of Wisconsin Public Radio with a pledge of $1,200. If you can't afford that, you know, by all means, $120 or $100 or whatever you feel that you can afford. And we want to hear from you at 800-383-9772 or at WPR.org.
1-800-383-9772. That's the number to go. Let me take a look here. Jim, we're at, what have we got? $3,000. We've raised $3,000 now, so we have $6,000 to go to reach our goal for the hour until noon. We've got $5,905 to go to reach that goal. So we're moving along, but we're not going to make it without the help of many, many people. It takes... it takes a lot of people contributing $120 a year to make that goal of $9,000. I'd say about 75 people roughly would, or maybe 76 or so, to calling in with a $120 contribution to make it. And we've had 23 or so people call, so if we had another 50 people call in with that $120 contribution, we'd make it. We'd make it even faster if we could have even more contributions or even a higher amount, but lower amounts are okay too. Whatever you feel comfortable with is what we want you to do. And don't forget, we have this, the reason we're pushing so hard to reach $9,000 by noon is if we don't make it by noon, then we don't get the extra $1,500 in the form of a challenge grant. So it's like you are, when you contribute your $120 or your $250 or your $500 or your $100, whatever that amount is, you're helping us reach the goal of $9,000. And the goals are set in such a way that if everybody meets their goals each hour, then when it's all said and done, we've shot the moon. We've made it to the top. We're past the moon on our way to Mars, if we can make that goal. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. or go online to WPR.org, WPR.org. Make your contribution there. It'll take you about a minute, and then you can print off your receipt.
7 minutes to go and $5,500 to raise. Ooh. To make that $9,000 goal. Why not make your decision right now? It will really help Larry in our quest to make this goal of $9,000 by noon. We have to have that counted by noon in order to get the extra $1,500. So why not make your pledge right now? Decide if it's going to be $100, and we'll be glad to send along the water bottle, or $120, and you get the Wisconsin Public Radio member benefit card. And there, it's very easy for you to secure the amount of your investment back in just a weekend of maybe going to a bed and breakfast for two nights for the price of one, or going to a couple of restaurants where you get two-for-one entrees. You can incorporate that because there are so many choices, and you've got a lot of choices about paying for this. You don't have to do it all at once. You can put it on a card or on electronic funds transfer, or you'd be like me and do an employee deduction. So 800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
I do it in a whole variety. I write checks sometimes. Sometimes I put it on my MasterCard because I get the air miles that way. I've done it a number of different ways. I've never had it taken out of my check monthly. That's probably be a good way to do it. But and it works for Jim. I'm just sticking out the credit card there sometimes. But that works for me. Maybe that'll work for you as well. But whatever way is going to work for you, we want you to do it right now. You sometimes wonder what converts a Wisconsin Public Radio listener into a Wisconsin Public Radio contributor. About 1 in 10 people who listen contribute. I think one of the reasons is a sense of social responsibility. Many people who make their first ever gift, they tell us that they view Wisconsin Public Radio as a shared community resource. And if you get some value from it, you should put something back into it. That's the way they look at it. And so we're asking you to consider an amount today. Whatever that amount is comfortable for you. Here we go with about $5,000 to raise in the last 5.5 minutes. If you've been thinking about it, boy, now is the time to really act as we're into the last 5 minutes of this goal of reaching $9,000. We could use a large contribution, but I tell you what, we can use several contributions that are less. At 1-800-383-9772, I like the $120 contribution because then you do get the member benefit card. But if you can see your way fit to contribute more, that's great. If you can see your way fit to contribute less, that's okay, too. I've had a lot of people call who said they're on a sort of monthly, they do a kind of a monthly, and it's taken out of their check. And so they're already kind of in the system, but they've added $40 or $50 or $60 during this show just to get us up to our goals. And maybe you're one of those folks who is already contributing monthly. You want to throw a little more money at us, that would be wonderful. It's quick, it's easy, it just takes a couple of minutes to do it. And when you're done, you're going to feel great knowing you've helped us here. And we're at, like I said, about $5,000 to go with 4 minutes to go to reach our goal. But we can do it with your help. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. Make your contribution. Even an online contribution, we hear about that instantly, and we know, and we can add it to that total. So don't be afraid that if you go online, you're not going to get it in time. You will. And when you do, you're going to be helping us reach our goal, and you're going to feel great, too. 1-800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org.
You can hear the phones ringing in the background, and if you do happen to get a busy signal, just call back in a minute, because there are a lot of people that are calling right now that want to get on, and we want to make sure that you're counted as well as we go for this $9,000 goal. We've got to hit it by noon. Wisconsin Public Radio programs have enriched your life, and if you've used Larry's program to get information that's valuable to you, then why not turn around and add some enrichment to your life with a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio and pick up the member benefit card. It'll provide you with savings at lots of culturally rich establishments around the state into Iowa and Minnesota. You'll end up dining at places you may not have thought of before, and you'll find yourself rubbing elbows with Wisconsin Public Radio listeners. You could strike up some lifelong friendships that way.
Rubbing elbows with me or Jim Packard, because we use it.
That's right.
We definitely do. Here's that number. Somebody called in and said, you know what, say the number more often because it makes the phone ring. So here's the number, 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Or go online to WPR.org, WPR.org. We're moving along. We can make our goal. We haven't made it yet, and we really need to make that goal in order to get our challenge grant of $1,500. Think about that. Somebody is contributing an extra $1,500 as an incentive for people to call in with contributions. So if you haven't done that yet, help us out, and let's relieve our anonymous contributors of another $1,500. 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org.
Larry, we're down under $5,000, and there were calls coming in that aren't being counted, so we're not sure whether we're going to make it. The only way that we can be sure is if we continue to get calls. So why not take this opportunity to make up your mind as to how much you're going to pledge and either go online at WPR.org or call 800-383-9772. $10 a month pledge, $120 gets you the member benefit card. If you can't afford that but can afford $100, then that Wisconsin Public Radio water or beverage mug, 32 ounces of hard plastic beverage mug, will be sent to you with our appreciation.
Here's that number again, 1-800-383-9772. Go online to WPR.org. That's the other alternative. We're going to be back with Tom Hall and Jim Lattice to answer more of your questions. But in the meantime, call now, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. Big thanks to everyone who has contributed so far during the program. Hooray, we made the $9,000 goal. We just made it, $9,465. And now we have another goal of $7,000. And we'll talk some more about that later, but there's a $7,000 goal for this. We're in the last hour now of the pledge drive, but I want to bring back Jim Lattice and Tom Hall to answer your questions. And Gene in Ashland has been waiting a long time now. So let's go to Gene. And Gene, hi, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Hello. I hear a radio program about amateur radio, and the host, Arnie Coro, keeps telling us that we are now going into or are now in the 23rd cycle or 24th cycle, and how it affects the transmission of ham radio.
Oh, sun cycles you're talking about.
Yeah, sun cycles. What is he talking about?
Okay.
And the measurement is from when to when, if it's 23rd or 24th or what?
Mm-hmm. Jim Lattice?
Well, the sunspot cycle is related actually to this earlier question that we had about sunspots. Harv asked about sunspots. In effect, if you go out and look at the sun on a given day, you might or might not see a sunspot on the sun. And astronomers have been looking at the sun daily, counting the number of sunspots they see since Galileo first started using astronomical telescopes. And he did the same thing. He didn't go blind doing that, by the way. That's a myth. But you can safely observe the sun and count sunspots. And it turns out, over the centuries now, so we're over 400 years now, going on 400 years, the sunspot number rises slowly and then falls over a period of time. And if you just do an average of sunspots for the whole year, which is what you often see plotted, then you'll see that the number of average sunspots per year rises and falls over a cycle that's approximately, but not exactly, 11, I don't know, it's like 11.3 or something like that, 11 and a fraction years in the cycle. But the sun is not, doesn't tick away like a clock. It is sort of a physical oscillation of some sort that we don't fully understand going on in the sun, and that cycle varies a little bit. And so we see then a maximum in the number of sunspots, and then a few years later we see a minimum in the number of sunspots. And we just passed through the minimum. It's hard to predict, but what NASA these days does is define the minimum by the state of the magnetic field on the sun. And they saw the field reverse, which is the signal for the beginning of a new cycle. They saw the field reverse, I think it was sometime last year. I now forget when the date is. So we've been watching for the return of the sunspots, basically. We've seen very, very rare sunspots for the last few years. Very often look at the sun and there's nothing. By the way, there's a really, really good website that you should look at for more information on this, and it's called spaceweather.com. Spaceweather.com, all one word, spaceweather.com. And it's a NASA website, despite the .com, and tells you all about what the current state of the sun is, and you can find more there about solar cycles and that sort of thing.
Thank you, Gene. Thank you very much for calling. I want to give Peter a chance to join in from Madison. Peter, hi to you.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my... I'm a writer, and I've been thinking of doing something fictional on how an astronomer looks at the heavens, and I was wondering if in the case of planetary orbits, which travel in an ellipse, I believe, in all cases, are the speeds constant, or is there an increase in speed when they approach what I believe you call the ascending node?
Okay, the ascending node is something different. You're okay. Right. Planetary orbits are ellipses. This is you want to look at Kepler's laws.
Right.
And Kepler's first law is that the orbits of the planets are ellipses. With the sun at one focus, what we call the focus of an ellipse. And that means then that when the planet is nearest that focus, nearest the sun, it's considerably closer to the sun. And at the other end, which we call perihelion, the point that is closest to the sun. And then when it recedes from the sun at its most distant point, it's at what we call aphelion, the greatest distance from the sun. Kepler's second law tells us that the planet goes fastest at perihelion and slowest at aphelion, and also it tells us more than that. It tells us exactly how the speed varies as it goes around the ellipse. So you want to look up Kepler's second law. You probably find that on Wikipedia or something. But what you're looking for there is that the planet's speed, orbital speed, is fastest at aphelion. And that, now the node is something different. The node is where the planet's orbit intersects the plane of the ecliptic, and it doesn't tell you anything special about the planet's speed at that point. So it's okay. Aphelion you're looking for.
Good luck, Peter. Thank you very much for calling. Mary in Spring Green. Hi to you, Mary.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just was calling to express my appreciation for Space Place. We've benefited out here in Spring Green several times by the staff coming out and showing us pictures and telling us things. But the other thing is that Home News has a column, astronomy column, written by Peter Livingston every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether I'm a little vague about whether Peter's part of Space Place, but anyway, he knows a lot about astronomy.
Well, we know Peter very well, and he's invited us out to Spring Green several times, and that's always
exciting.
A good time.
The thing that was exciting to me was one of his columns. I don't know whether it was the last one or the one before that told us to go out and look at 5 o'clock in the morning and see the moon and a few planets and a star, and I did that, and it was clear. And it was just breathtaking. It was, yeah. And it's so much fun to know what to look for and then to find it.
Yeah,
that was a wonderful sight, wasn't it? With the moon sort of in a triangle with those other objects. That was pretty recently.
Yeah,
it was great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling, Mary. Appreciate it. And Jim in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi there, Larry. I've got a kind of a wacky lunchtime question that is based just on curiosity. It's not a practical question.
Okay.
And that is, you know, the sky is blue, but obviously there's light penetrating through it. You can see the moon in the daytime sometimes. And I was always wondering, could you have some kind of blue filter that would let you do some kind of astronomical observing with a telescope in the daytime? Could you see stars and planets or not?
No.
Well, I see Tom nodding.
Tom, what do you think?
That's a good question. You'll only see the brightest of planets.
You can see Venus in the daytime from time to time. The problem would be that during the daytime, at most anywhere that I can think of in the visual spectrum, the sky brightness is going to be greater than the brightness of the vast majority of stars at that same wavelength. So probably no matter what filter you put on your telescope, you're not going to detect much in the way of anything up there that's going to be brighter than the sky.
Well, so what you're telling me, and this is my question really, is the sky is not just blue, it's all wavelengths.
It is, but it's predominantly blue. I mean, you've got a big enhancement in that part of the spectrum, which is what gives it, other than a white color. But certainly there are parts of the spectrum where objects in the heavens are much brighter than the sky is. For example, that's why astronomers can do radio astronomy from the surface of the Earth, because radio sources in the sky are much, much brighter than the sky is in radio. So some astronomy, like radio, for example, can be done from the Earth's surface in the daytime. But I think you'd be very hard pressed in the visual part of the spectrum to find anything but just a very, very few very bright objects that would work.
There are blue filters that amateur astronomers will add to their eyepieces to enhance both Jupiter and Saturn. And Jim's exactly right. It's the washout of other wavelengths in the daytime that just means you can block out some of that blue from the sky, but you're also blocking out available light from the planet itself in using these filters. It can be done, but not in a way that gets you anywhere near a dark sky view.
I'll say.
Okay, well, that was my question. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Jim, again, you've got an event tomorrow night.
We do. We had, and in fact, this includes Tom as well, at UW Space Place, 2300 South Park Street. We have our fall telescope and binocular clinic and fair. And so we invite people to come in with their telescopes for help with them, help in setting them up. We always, the Madison Astronomical Society volunteers come in as well and help us. We try to help people get their telescopes set up, show them tricks for using them, getting the finders set up and the mounting set up and things like that. And we also set out a variety of telescopes, so you can even come in and say, oh, I have one like that, if you didn't want to drag it down to Space Place that night. And we'll tell you about how to use your telescope using one of our models. If you're shopping for a telescope, it's a great opportunity to come down and see a lot of different models of telescopes and to talk to people who use them a lot.
And those Viper binocs will be there too, those award-winning Viper binoculars.
We'll bring a collection of binoculars. The Vipers are one for daytime use sometimes, but they'll work for astronomy too. And then we'll bring in the big ones that we have for astronomical use, and we'll always have a nice collection there.
And you've got a trip coming up in 2008, Jim, have you not?
That's right. With the UW Alumni Association, we have our Deep Skies and Desert Arizona astronomy tour. We've done this now a couple of times with the Alumni Association. It's a lot of fun. We have an itinerary. This is in late September, early October of next year. And we visit several big observatories like Lowell Observatory and Kitt Peak Observatory. We visit Meteor Crater out there, which is a fascinating site, and a number of other places. And that's the Wisconsin Alumni Association. You can find out more about that by contacting them.
Go to the Wisconsin Alumni Association website, and you'll find out all you need to know about that. And we'll find out all we need to know about our goals and what we have left to reach here from Jim Packard, who's joining us. And Jim, we made our goal. We went over our goal for the hour. We made $10,000.
It's like 1,000 points of light, or 10,000 points of light to be actual about it. But that's a phenomenal response, and we really appreciate that. We made
Absolutely.
Our goal and picked up the extra $1,500. Now we're working on a $7,000 goal by the end of the program, by 12:30, and we know that this is the last day of the drive, the last half hour, the last 15 minutes that you can contribute to Larry's program. And so if you're a person who depends on the program, if you listen regularly, and if you get some enjoyment and benefit out of it, then why not help pay for the program? Because we do have fixed expenses. We've got the 800 telephone service around the state mm-hmm. and elsewhere. We've got our web service. So many things are paid for with your telephone calls. 31% of our programming budget comes from your call. So why not make your call right now? If you haven't done it this drive, if you've never done it, then mm-hmm. why not go ahead and pledge? Because we've done so well with new members today.
Yeah, we absolutely have. We've 21 new members in, out of a total of 56 contributors, so getting close to half. And for this half hour already, we've raised $1,800. Seven contributors, four of them have been new members. So this is your chance to take some ownership, financial ownership in Wisconsin Public Radio, as we're down to the about the last 12 minutes of the drive, really, for this particular program, and only 40 minutes to go for the entire drive. So if you've been thinking about it, you've been thinking about contributing and wondering how much, well, whatever you feel comfortable with. But the time is now growing very, very short for you to make your contribution during this program. Marcia DeForest called in, said, I've been listening for years. She contributed. It's my favorite radio station. I love public radio. Wish I could even give more. but she gave what she felt was appropriate for her. You may think $120 is appropriate for you, and if you do, we'll send you the member benefit card. Actually, for any amount over $120 and more, you will get the member benefit card. That is for sure. At 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org, WPR.org. 10 minutes to go, and we've raised almost $2,000, Jim, so we've got $5,000 to go to reach our goal, 1-800-383-9772.
Or you can go to WPR.org, and you can make your pledge there. You know, at $120 level, you can do that on a number of ways. Installments, you can do it on electronic funds transfer. You can do it through any one of those credit cards that we've been talking about. But we want to make sure that if you have an interest in the program and you get something out of it, then help pay for the program. And we've only got a few minutes for you to make your call right now. The benefits of Wisconsin Public Radio membership at the $120 level include the performance and tractions benefits, the dining benefits throughout the state of Wisconsin, the two nights for the price of one at several bed and breakfasts in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois. So you can recoup the cost of your investment in just a weekend or so, just a couple of uses of the card, and you'll have the amount of your pledge back to you. And so why not help us out? Make your pledge right now. Help us meet the goal of the drive as we go for a very successful conclusion today. And we've got just 10 minutes left in Larry's program, and we've got about, what, how much?
$4,960 to go.
To go. So we're under $5,000 there.
Under $5,000. And, you know, I hope you'll contribute because you enjoy the experts that we have on our program. Jim Lattice and Tom Hall. You guys remember how long you've been on the air doing this program? Any idea?
It's all a blur.
It's all a blur.
I can't remember.
It's been at least 6 or 7 years.
Oh, at least.
Maybe 8 or 9.
Maybe 8 or 9.
More like 8 or 9. You figure that out. That's a lot of trips to Wisconsin Public Radio studios for these two guys who do it of their own volition. We're not they're not getting any extra money to do this. They're doing it. Well, is he here? It's been 9 years, and he didn't know that. You know, the check's in the mail.
Boy, the bill must be getting bigger.
The bill must be getting. No. They do that out of the kindness of their heart, and they do a wonderful job, don't they? I mean, they have great information. They do it in a friendly manner, and they do it in a way that any of us can understand it, including me. And I think that's the way those are the kinds of guests we try to have here on Wisconsin Public Radio during this time program, during this time period. They are people who give great advice. They have great information to share. And now we're hoping that you'll share in the form of a financial contribution with us as we're down to the last 8 minutes or so of the drive with $4,900 to go to reach our goal. Here's the number, 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. Somebody asked me, are those phones that we hear in the background, are those just recordings? No, they're not. They're actual phone calls that are coming in from people just like you. And if you have not contributed yet, or maybe you've contributed and want to add a little to get us to our goal, that's fine too. Now is the time to do it as we're in the last 7 minutes of the drive for this particular program. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. Matter of fact, it's the last 37 minutes of the drive total, but the last 7 minutes for this program.
And indeed, you make your pledge at 800-383-9772, or you can pledge online at WPR.org. Any amount that is comfortable to you is appropriate and something that we would welcome. We will not share your name or your personal information with anyone. And, of course, some companies will contribute and match your contribution, perhaps even triple it. So why not go ahead and check with your human resources office about that? But it takes a pledge right now. If you can pledge $2 a week, that's a $100 pledge. $10 a month is a $120 pledge. If you can afford 50 cents a day, that'll add up to $180. Make your pledge now at 800-383-9772.
And we could use a contribution at the $100 a month level, too. I mean, that is always a big help. $100 a month sounds like a lot of money to some people. For some people, that it is not. But remember, you can do it online if you want to do that. It's actually gives us more dollars toward our programming if we do it online. There's a and less toward the paperwork. I think it's the paperwork which is where the extra cost comes in when mm-hmm. you make a phone call. So you save us a little money by going online to WPR.org, and that's fine with us. No matter how you do it, here we are down to the last 5 minutes and probably about $800 a minute to go here to reach our goal. Help us reach it right now with your contribution. Any amount is comfortable for you. We don't share your name or your personal information with anybody. Some companies will match your contribution, and we've had a lot of that going on this time. We've gotten a lot of messages from people saying, yeah, I'm going to my company, and they're matching my amount that I've given. So maybe that'll work for you, too. Maybe not. Call us at 1-800-383-9772. Give us a contribution at that number or by going online to WPR.org. 5 minutes to go, Jim.
And at that $100 level, the Wisconsin Public Radio water bottle is a premium for you. You
I'll click it again
at $100 or more. It's a
solid
USA-made reusable water bottle, a 36-ounce sports bottle marked with the WPR logo, and it is said to be extremely durable. And as you can hear, Larry's pounding it against his head. Larry, please don't do that. Your wife will come home and you'll have all these bruises on your forehead. So get your, you know, if you're a sports person and that sounds good to you, then pledge at the $100 level. But if you can afford a little bit more, at $120, you get the member benefit card. It gives you entree to so many attractions, restaurants, beds and breakfasts that you'll be able to recoup the cost of your investment in just a short time. So make your pledge right now. Hopefully it's $120, and you could do it at WPR.org or at 800-383-9772.
1-800-383-9772, the number to call. We're down to the last 4 minutes now for this program, for this drive. Don't forget that member benefit card for a $120 contribution. Two-for-one dining across Wisconsin at 250 different locations, more than 250, and actually some in Minnesota, some in Illinois. And as well, the new deal this year is the bed and breakfast deal, where if you go to one of the bed and breakfasts, there's 44 of them listed, and you stay for two nights, you're only going to pay for one. And as I've said a couple times, I'm going to figure out where the restaurants are in the areas, and I'm going to figure out one of the attractions, and I'm going to go two for one the whole weekend with my wife.
Indeed.
And I can be like a big spender, but I'll only be paying 50%. Half the amount. 50%.
Exactly.
That appeals to my and, you know, maybe with that savings, I could contribute a little more to Wisconsin Public Radio, too. There's that. Actually, when you contribute $120 and we send you the member benefit card, you will cover the cost of that. Essentially, if you go to a bed and breakfast just one weekend, you've covered the $120. And if you throw in the dinners, I've just paid for mine by using the dinners over the course of the year, because you have a whole year to use it. But I tell you what, whatever trips your trigger here, we hope you'll do it right now, because we're down to 2.5 minutes to go in the program. We still have yet to meet our goal. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Or go online to WPR.org. WPR.org.
It just takes a minute or two, and there are volunteers who are waiting to take your call. They are people who listen, who have pledged, who take part in the activities of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association, especially during pledge drives. They're able to come in and take your call. So why not make your call right now? As we try to get to a successful resolve of our goal, we wanted to make $7,000 in this half hour. We're doing pretty well, but we could still use your call to help us get over the top at WPR.org or at 800-383-9772. If you've already pledged, we thank you very much. And if you haven't, well, you still have a chance.
Still have. We're going to have to go away here in about 30 seconds, but there's still a little bit of time for you after that for us to make our goal. Thanks to everybody who's called in with a contribution. We've got about $2,000 to go, and I think we can reach that with your help. And when you call in, you'll be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. You'll be putting in a vote for this program and for public radio in general. So call in now, 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. Big thanks to Jim Lattice and Tom Hall for being with us today. And a big thanks to you for listening and to all of you who have called in with contributions. Thank you so much. Again, the number 1-800-383-9772. Call in. We still have a minute to go.